You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we're doing just that, looking to you. God, you know all about tomorrow and the day after. And God, so we're looking to you to make sure that we're trusting you as we ought and waiting on you as we ought. So as we go down the corridor of time, God, we're going to go in a way that pleases you and profits us. So God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we share together, David being our example, as the Lord is my shepherd, and so God is the shepherd of the sheep, the believing heart. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the deep darkness, God, you're with us. And as we proceed down the corridor of time, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that's David's course. That's the journey he took. And God has brought him unto himself. And ultimately, when the Lord comes again, he will have David up front again. Now, so David, we're trying to learn from that, David being an example to us. And David's times were in God's hands, and he knew that, Psalm 31, we shared it. David knew the days and hours of his life from a little boy, a shepherd of a few sheep, and God kept him, and David trusted God for the lion and the bear and the Goliath. And David went down the corridor of time, and all the days of his life point. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 30 again, about David. With all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. In other words, the whole world David was in was watched over by God. Not only David personally, David's immediate surroundings, Israel, and all the countries of the world. God was watching over the whole thing as he worked everything out, like we shared a little on Wednesday. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful working out what he does in his most awesome, wonderful way. So God, what are we looking at? Well, here we are, and we need to do what? Well, I need to, David, you understood, goodness and mercy followed you. That's because you were going, and we shared all those things a little bit this morning, that wherever you're going, what you're following is going to end up behind you, following you. So if you're looking, blessing, looking for God's will outworked like Israel, David, then the God's mercy and goodness are going to follow him all the days of his life. On the other hand, if you aren't going to do that and you're going to do like the Philistines or somebody else, then you do what you do and as you do it and your idols and everything, and you follow your idols and follow your system of philosophy, whatever you do, and you do it. And you reap. That's what's following you. You're going to reap that because that's what you did. You go down the corridor of darkness. Darkness is in front of you, and darkness is following you. It's the way it is. So God, it's important as we proceed hour by hour on planet Earth, where are we headed? And David was all excited because he hadn't finished, but he was going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that's the thing that kept him going. It wasn't here having another little bit of over here and a little more life over here. It wasn't about that. What was the incentive, David? It's because I looked to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I was looking for. So God, you were the centerpiece. Where he was headed, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, doing that. But that wasn't his, whatever he did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it wasn't the issue. It was the issue that he was locked onto. He was looking to God to get to where God would have him to be. As he journeyed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he looked to God to see where he was ultimately going to be with God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind as you go down the corridor of time, so therefore, what do we do? Well, in the light of surely goodness and mercy following us, so therefore, God shall follow David. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us to get to where we need to be. To get to where we need to be, what we need to be, and when we need to be it. To get us where we need to be, and what we need to be, and when to get there. Now, God, that's what you're doing. It's a most wonderful thing. So that's us believers. Here we are looking over, if I can, to the Gospel of John. And I'm just going to bounce around a couple of thoughts to think about, because God's word is his own word. God gives his word. He is the word become flesh. John 1, 2, 1, 2, and 3. He is the word was with God, the word was God, etc. God, the word. So the Bible, in the original language, is God, God's word. That's what he said. God gave it in his wonderful outworking so that we could communicate intelligently and understand intelligently, so that we could relate to God with good purpose and enjoyment. Now, so over to the Gospel of John. And if I may, going in the upper room again where we were, John chapter 14. And let's see how it works out. Where we need to be. Where we need to be. What I need to be. Okay, God. Now, what did you say? So I'm going to see if it's consistent. David had it. God, you were the one instructing David. John chapter 14, and you'd recall, just put it together simply, the Lord's telling the 11 in the upper room, Judas is going to be disappearing, but the 11 in the upper room, and he tells them something. John chapter 14, and you know it's a wonderful thing. Now, what did you tell them? In the light of all the trouble, Judas is going to go and betray the Lord, and the Lord's going to be crucified, and everything looks like it's coming to an end or something. So, God, what are you going to say? Well, what did you say? God, we're going to look to, after you go, Lord, we're going to have all the problems with Rome and everything. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, don't be troubled. Don't be all in turmoil. Why not? Why not? Maybe next week will work out better. Maybe next month will work out better. Oh, no, you didn't say that. No, you didn't say any of that. Why didn't you tell us about next month, next week? Well, because, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, there you may be also. So God, what do you want? Well, where do I need to be? God's going to tell the disciples and us, we need to be where? With him. Where? At the right hand of God. That's where you need to be. That's the incentive. You want to know? David, here we are, David. We're to get to where we need to be. Where do we need to be? With him. That's pretty simple. So the incentive, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, easy, hard, much, little, what are you going to do? The incentive is what? God, we're headed. God's waiting for us. We're in his presence. Hang on. And we're going to, he's waiting for us. That's all. He's waiting for us right now. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, verse 10. And we're waiting for him. Waiting. So here we are waiting. That's a wonderful thing. And just where you tie that together, you know it, chapter 17, just in your mind. And in chapter 17, picking up, please, in thought, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That's what you want. That's what you want, God. What do you want? I want you to be where I am. So if you're going to say to God, what's God's will? He's waiting for you to be with him. That's what he's waiting for. Okay. That purpose, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And I've given. They want them to see the marvelousness of the relationship. Think of the communion service. The marvelous, marvelous relationship. And I want them to see the glory. What glory? Verse 22, chapter 17, verse 22. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. I want them to have a unique relationship. It's a glorious thing. I want them to have it. So where do you want me to be? As a believer, I want you to be with me. So you go to bed, you go to work, go to home, school, all the different problems of life. What do you do? Well, where you're headed. I'm going to be with him. That's where I'm going. So you just keep going along and you're going to be with him. That's where you're going. So what's the motivation to get out of bed, go to work and do things? Why? I'm going to be with him. He's waiting for me. He wants me to be there. That's what he said. Made it very clear. And not only that, so what, where I need to be? What do I need to be? What do I need to be? Well, over to John chapter 15. And God tells us, and how are they going to do it? How are they going to have the incentive and the patience to hang in there? And all of them are going to pay a price, the disciples are, etc. Going to pay a price like the signers of our Declaration of Independence. And they're going to pay, but they got to keep going. And now God, what's the incentive to go down the corridor of time? God, well, verse chapter 15, you know, please, and if I can, in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot be a fruit of itself, except it abide in the vines, no more can you except you abide in me. The vine and the branch, like the trees outside. I am the vine and you are the branches. The God, our Lord and Savior, and we're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's what you're going to do. So God, what are we going to do? We haven't got to your house yet. We haven't got to be with you yet, no. But in the meantime, I'm with you. You're a new creature in Christ. You're bought with a price. You're mine. So in the meantime, how am I going to get there? I want you to abide. And without me, you can't do it. You won't enjoy the trip at all without me. Without me, you can do nothing. So I've got to abide like the branch in the vine. I've got to stay there. And I'm abiding. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for what? To be with you. Where are you? In me, in the believing heart, waiting to get me there. But you have to finish my journey in order to fulfill what you have in mind in the outworking of your glory and honor. So therefore, And God, now having said that, when? Verse 15, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, right now. Now that means that that's true. Pentecost hasn't happened yet. And they're going to get wonderfully, wonderfully saved in a full and complete way. But in the meantime, God is covering them, keeping them. So when could they exercise the excitement of what he's saying in chapter 15, 16, 17? Well, they could do it then, but they just weren't ready to do it. But they could do it. They could do it. When you get saved and know the Lord as your Savior, how long does it take you to know the peace of God? How long does it take you to be able to do all things through him that strengtheneth you? How many months? It all happened the moment you believed, but you have to learn it and exercise it. It isn't something that's going to happen. It's something that has happened. Now. When? Now. When am I going to go? Now. What am I waiting for? God, you're here to get me there. That's right. Now. So I need that. And interesting, I think it's right. Over 1,300 times in the Bible. Now. N-O-W. God said, now. When do things happen? Now. When are you supposed to believe? Now. When are you supposed to walk? Now. When are you supposed to live? Now. Everything. Now. Well, I'm going to think about it. You don't read that. God didn't say to think about it. He said believe it and do it. Okay. So God, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, God, you're going to do these wonderful things. Over if I can, got that. So, God, are you going to keep saying it? I am. Are you going to be consistent? I am, God said. So, therefore, we'll try Philippians. Philippians. And you're going to recall, God, you're consistent. So I need to get lined up with the consistency. Philippians chapter 2, picking up if I can, verse 12, you know, wonderful. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed in my, not as in my presence only, but now much more, now, not next month, now much more in my absence. What are we supposed to be doing now? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be saved? Be saved. Be a son. Trust God? That's what you're going to do. That's it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. God, I'm looking. You're telling me to look to you, to wait on you, to go forward. Who's in front of me? God. God's will's in front of me. What God wants is in front of me. So who's going to be behind me? God. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. It has to be. Hang on. It has to be. So God, we're going to work out our own salvation. And in the process, we haven't got there. But you don't need to get there. You just need to understand you're already there in my wonderful person, said the Lord Jesus. You're already there. So you just need to enjoy the relationship here, abiding like the branch, until you get there. Till you get there. Therefore, verse 13, you know, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God. So you're going to be doing. That's right. Well, what are you doing? I'm working out my will. What am I supposed to be doing? I'm following your will. I'm following you. I'm going down the corridor of time, and I want to get to where I'm going. And where am I going? I'm going to you, God. That's what I'm doing. You saved me to get to you. You saved us to get to you, to know you. So therefore, I'm going to do that. Now, chapter 3, we're going to do it. Uh-huh. And then you're going to illustrate it for us by the life of Paul, etc. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in ourselves or the flesh. We aren't trusting anything about us. Whose plan is it? God's. Where are we going? To God's place. Who's going to get us there? God. How are we going to get there? God. That's how we're going to get there. Now, in the flesh, well, the people don't see that, don't understand that. I don't even understand that. But God said that's what it's going to be, though. So therefore, we're going to trust him. That's what we're going to do. Sliding down to say, and therefore, verse 7, but things were, I had all my wonderful plans for my work, my home, my school, my retirement, everything, all of it's there. Verse 4, I had everything, being all those things, we read them and looked at them the other day. Paul's wonderful as a Roman citizen, having everything, wow, all the advantages as a Jew and as a Roman citizen. Now, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, all those wonderful things in my life, if I just work another year, I can get a big raise. If I just do that, this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and this will work out. That's what we're doing. That's understandably, that's how we live. Day by day, that's how we live. And that's why we can worry and want and have all the problems, because behind us are all the things that we're worried about that we didn't see happen yet, that we looked ahead, and all that we're trying to figure out is now behind us. The present becomes the past, etc. And it keeps happening day by day. Calendar, the clock keeps happening. So it doesn't stop. No, it doesn't stop. So therefore, I count looking to Christ, verse 8. Doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of what? Of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I don't count them as important, not all important. And I count them, how do you count them? I count them as dung, waste, that I'm in Christ. I'll get this, I'm gonna have that. Don't count on it. Paul said, listen, what I have in front of me that's my incentive to go is to go and to be in him, with him, for him forever. That's where I'm going. That's what it's all about. It isn't about nothing here. Everything's here. Here today, gone tomorrow. Everything passes away. The food you need to eat food tomorrow. Everything you need to do, you got to keep doing it over and over again. You got to keep breathing air. You got to keep taking your pills. You got to keep doing this, and then take more, whatever. And you keep doing. God, I got to have something better than that to be the incentive, the motivation to go. And God, you're it. So therefore, God, surely goodness and mercy, God, you're behind. Hang on now. So therefore, I count it as dung. It isn't important. So you make it so important. Well, the disease and everything else is out there. It's so important. No, it isn't important. No, it isn't at all. It's there. Don't make it all important. Don't make something very important that isn't. It isn't. Say, well, I could get the flu. Sure you could. So get the flu. Get the flu and either live or die and get it over with. Because God isn't going to let anything happen. You aren't going to live 1 second less on planet Earth than God wants you to. So just roll up your sleeves and say, well, no, you're not. Don't. Who fed you that? The flesh did. The world did. God doesn't feed you that. You won't find that with God. And we're saved. We're headed down the corridor of time. Then we ought to enjoy the trip. David, you did. You had horrible times. Difficult times, but you kept going because you wanted to look for what? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what you were going. So now, having said that, verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, I'm following the Lord's lead, where the Lord's taking me in God's will. I'm following after. Why? That I may apprehend. Apprehend means to lay hold of something. to grab hold of it, to possess it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. God has a wonderful plan for my life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's what I want. That's what I'm running for. Well, next week, next month, maybe, maybe not, but that's where I'm going. Going down the corridor of time, I want what God has. So Paul, how could you be counted all dung? Because Paul said, listen, I'm looking for all the things that God is having for me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. God has a wonderful plan from the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained for us. They're all there. Oh, what kind of pie in the sky is that? No, it's true. But how many believers believe it? They don't believe it. Oh, I got to work out my thing. No, no. You trust God and get down the corridor. You going to make it? No question. David, are you sure? Well, the world isn't sure. People aren't sure. And all things up in upheaval at the moment. Now, going to stay that way too till the Lord comes. Because the next thing coming up is our rapture and the tribulation. And the tribulation's no picnic. So that's where it's going. So don't, you know, I'm going to, no, you're not. No, you got to understand what's going on. Now, so therefore, Philippians, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. How good are you at forgetting? Is that right? How good are you at forgetting yesterday to run forward? You got all the disappointments, the discouragements, the depression, the things that you feel never got right or need to get right. Well, all the stuff in our brain and head. Wow. Forgetting. Well, I can't. That's your trouble. You can't. You won't. You don't take yesterday's baggage on top of today's baggage, Matthew chapter 6. You don't take the baggage and keep building it. Get rid of the dumb baggage. Leave it. Yesterday's all gone. All gone. No matter how you cut the cookie, it's all gone. So just move forward. Move forward. And to the extent it lingers, move forward, knowing surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And therefore, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going down that corridor, going to look to God to help me make it as I go down. So therefore God, as we're looking, over if I can, oh to 1 John. 1 John. It's all going to say the same, but we'll look at it a little more. God, you're going to tell us. You tell us over and over again. Where in the world, where I need to be, what I need to be, when I need to be. So God, here we are. Here we are in the world. John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. Now what are we going to do? In God's wonderful, wonderful care and everything, God's going to go and help us. So 1 John chapter 5. May I pick up, please, in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous at all. They're very, very helpful to us. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh? Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So, God, where are we going? Well, God, as we go down the corridor, where do I need to be? I need to be overcoming the world as I'm going down. That's what I need to have happen. Oh, God, I have to keep overcoming the world because the world's going to rob me of where I'm going and to whom I belong. So, God, I can't let that happen. No, sir. No, sir, God, I'm not going to do it. So I need to be what? In the world, overcoming. The world isn't going to get me, so I'm not going to let that happen. God, I see it. God, now what? Now what? What? What am I to be? How am I going to do that? Over to John chapter 4. What I need to be. Chapter 4. And you will pick up, please, verse 4, four, directly. You are of God, little children, and have overcome, there's your little verb, overcome, to have triumphant, to prevail, have the victory. You have overcome them because why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So why can we ever overcome? Because God, what I need to be is an overcomer. Now how am I going to be an overcomer? I told you, abide. The branch abides, and it just keeps abiding. And what do you have? The branch enjoys the tree. That's what it does. The trees are all budding up there and everything. And the branch itself, you could bring a branch here and hold it up in the air, it won't do anything. But leave it alone, let it abide, and it will keep making the leaves and all the stuff happen, the fruit and everything. That's what's going to happen, because it's abiding. Well, how am I going to overcome? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So either you are in Christ or you're not. And Christ is in you. That's it. A relationship. Unique relationship. I'm in the middle of God. We're in the middle of God in Christ. And God in the middle of himself, in Christ is in the middle of us. We're part of it. Oneness. A unique. We're his. Think of the communion we just did. You are his body. We're his body. Unique among all uniqueness. And here we are. So God, here we are going. We're going to be overcomers. And God, we need to understand that. So I need to overcome. Well, how am I going to overcome? Abide. Well, okay, help me some more. 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, may I pick up, please. In thought, we have a unique relationship to God. In verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So God, we have a unique relationship, abiding in the branch, Christ in the heart and the heart in Christ. Wow, unique relationship. Just think of it. Wow, it's a relationship. That's easy to see. Easy to see, do it, whatever it's worth. Here we are. Here you are, and Christ is in you. And you are in Christ. Isn't it? Here you are, Christ is in you, and you're in Christ. Now, it can't get simpler than that, but that's what it is. Isn't that awesome? That's really what it is. No. Yes, it is. Not cups, you understand? Hard to believe, isn't it? It is. No. Yes, it is. So, now, in the light of that, 1 John, sliding down to verse 6. I'll read verse 5, in the light of darkness, we mentioned it. And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So how can you walk in darkness? You can't. God said it's impossible. If you're walking with me, you have to be in the light. There is no darkness with me. God, what do you mean? What don't you understand? What can't you do anything about? All the different things happening in the world, my times are in thy hand. The times of the business world, the times of the secular world, the time of the political world, the time of the military world, all of it's going on around you. My times are in your hand. They're in your hand. Now, God, Is there any darkness? Is there anything you don't understand? Is there anything you can't do, keep in charge? You're taking care of it. We could drop a bomb over here, and Iran could send North Korea, I guess, you know, send a missile over, like they did in Israel. They sent a missile over to Iran, to the Israelis. Well, where's the missile? Don't worry about the missile. Don't let anything worry you that isn't there yet. And when it comes, it'll whistle. And when it whistles and coming down, then you could say, God, absent from the body and present with the Lord. So, fine, no problem. Now, having said that, God in the darkness, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God, as we're walking, how are we going to overcome? Well, we're going to walk in the light. We are children of light. We're supposed to walk in the light. We are the light of the world, little lighthouses. God, bringing God to work, to home, to school, wherever you go, you bring God into that place, into that situation, in your heart. Now, so therefore, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is cleansing us. Uh-huh. Right when? Now. What do I need? How am I going to get there? Where am I going? And what do I need to do to be? And when do I need to be it? Right now. Right now. I need to walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is going to be cleansing me. That's why I'm an overcomer. My old nature's lousy. So I'm not trusting my lousy old nature. So God, as I'm going, you're going to make me an overcomer? That's what I'm going to make you, an overcomer. That's what you're going to do. Are you going to worry? No, not going to worry, because you said that's sin. Worry's a sin, so I can't get into that business. So God, here I am, walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. And when we get in trouble, we confess our sin, verse 9, etc. And we aren't stupid enough to say, well, I don't have a problem. God said it in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So the wise guy, girl, can say, I don't have any problem. You have no idea. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So God, I've got to honor you, so I'm not trusting myself. That's why Paul said, I count it all as dung. So what's it going to do? It's all going to pass away. It is passing away. Everything you've got, your time is passing, and the world is, everything is moving. Yesterday, today becomes yesterday. Today becomes the past, etc. And we just keep going. Wow. So God, here we are. And so God, you're going to be able to go and cleanse us and keep us. So it isn't a hard thing. When are you going to do it? Abide in me now. That's what you're going to do. You're going to do that in a most wonderful way. And look to me. So now, having said that, over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Now, when do I need to be all this? Now, 1,300 times. now. So God, you don't have much thing to think about yesterday. You can wait and procrastinate. No, he did. God never gives me that. He never gives us that. First John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, N-O-W. Now. So, when do I need to do this? Now. Next week? No. Tonight? No. Now. Now. Operate now. But no. Then you won't operate. You'll wait till tonight. I bet you won't do it. If you can't abide now, you won't abide tomorrow. Why would you? I can't do it now. I won't do it then either. We don't pay attention to God. He says, now, salute, now. I can't go to the general or something in front of me and say, I'll salute you later, sir. No, you don't. You salute him now. Now. Talk about now. Okay, in the light of that. Verse 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, for we know that when he shall appear, looking, what? I want you to be with me. John chapter 14. I want you to be with me. That's what I want. Well, God, here I am, but I'm waiting for you to get there. God. And in the meantime, I'm with you until you're with me. Pretty good deal. And we do it. That's just simply walking with God. David, that's what you did. Uh-huh. And we're supposed to walk in faith and not by sight. We're supposed to walk trusting you, God, trusting your word. What you said, verse 3, or verse 2 again, that we shall appear, that we should, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the incentive to keep us going, verse 3, and every person, man, woman, boy, or girl, believer, that hath this hope, looking to be what? To be like him. Looking to get a raise, looking to have graduate, looking to have this, looking to have that. No, looking to be like him. What did we read about David? David said, I can't wait to be like him this morning. I can't wait to be like him. You say, well, I like being what I am. You have no idea. I've given you my glory and you don't even realize it. You don't realize what I've done for you. Therefore, again, verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. So God, here we are looking in your marvelous grace as we go down the corridor of time. Now God, having said that and understanding that a little bit, would you let us just skip a little bit over, if you would please, to Romans chapter 13. Just to see it, just to pick it up. You'll pick it up on your own. Chapter 13. And may I go, please, to verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now, N-O-W, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. We don't want to try to follow darkness. We're trying to walk as children of light. Stay in the light. And let us put on the armor of light. That's what we're going to do. We're children of light. Then be children. Stay in the light. Then what's going to be? You're going to stay in the light, in front of you, behind you. So therefore, God, wow. And now going to do it. All right, you're going to say it again, okay? Galatians 2. Wonderful truth. This is the simple truth for believers, to enjoy being believers in a most wonderful way. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Uh-huh. Nevertheless, I still live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. I receive Christ as my Savior. He's my life. And the life which I now live. Now, that's what I live right now. This very second is his life. That's what I tried to tell you. So what are you worried about? It isn't less life, it's full life. All the way to the end. Now God, am I going to have less life at midnight? No. I'm going to have light and life in the morning? No. You're going to have what? Oh, God's wonderful, wonderful provision to be able to go, and the life you now live is his. When does it disappear? It doesn't. Doesn't. He's the incentive, motivation. This is why do you get out of bed? Because I'm saved. because God has a wonderful plan for my life. I have no idea what it is. I do everything I should as much as I understand it, work, home, school, but then I just do what I can, I keep going. And God helps me work out the day as best I have with my common sense and a little bit of everything I understand that I seem to need to do, and I do it, and the things that don't, I don't. And God, it's up to you to help me get through that. Now, so therefore in verse 20, for Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, the faithfulness of God, trusting God, walk by faith and not by sight, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So God, what am I going to do? I'm going to go. That's what I'm going to do. Isn't hard? No. Now. When do you have it? Now. God, I can trust you, walk with you, walk in the light as he is in the light, and I'm going to go down the corridor of time in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over, if I can, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, and you recall, go directly if I can to verse 14. Now, thanks. Thanks be unto God. Now thanks be unto God, which always, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, causes us to triumph. You're overcomers, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you, he than the world. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If I'm going to abide, I'm going to have what? The benefit of his presence. What's he going to do? Let not your heart be troubled. We're going to keep going down the corridor. Why? What's the incentive? What's behind me? God is. God, surely God is. God, I'm going. And that's the movement, to stay there, to hang in there, thick and thin, no matter what. So therefore, verse 14 again, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, that maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. So everywhere we're going, we're trusting God. And God's going to let it, you're trusting God at work, at home, at school, all the different things. You could have a wonderful job or a terrible job. If you get 50 cents, fine. Go pay the bills and get it over with. Well, that's all it's going to be anyway. So you do it. You do. Trusting God isn't an issue. What's an issue is, God, I want to trust you and have the best. I want your best. I want your will outworked in my life. So I'm going to go down the corridor of time. And as I go down the corridor of time, people are going to know, well, who are you trusting? I'm trusting God. Remember 1 Peter 3:15? Reason the people want to know, the reason of the hope, what you just read in 1 John, the hope. If you have this hope, it purifies you. What are you looking for? I'm going to be there. That's what I'm going to do. That keeps you going. Oh, I don't, how do you know the rapture's not coming till the end of the millennium? Oh, no, who knows? No, at any moment, that's why he said it. Well, I don't believe that. Then you got a problem, my dear friend, not you guys. Because then you can't enjoy. You're looking to go through everything, and you're not working. You're looking to get out of it. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for God to take you. Now, he's waiting for you. Oh, no, I've got to go through all these things. No, he's waiting. And when God's going to take you, he's going to take you. And if he wants you to live on earth another 10 minutes, you will. And if he don't want you to, guess what? You're going to go. You say, well, I have my vitamins and everything. You're going to go. You see? It won't make any difference. You're going to go. That's all there is to it. Because God's in it, isn't he? The world can't say that. The world can't even touch this. Only you can, as believers. Now, having said that, a little bit, now, over to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, pick it up, please. Remember now, they were saved gloriously. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved them in verse 5. Holy Ghost and power and much assurance. They knew they were saved. Do you know, I think there may be too many believers that aren't sure they're saved. They're saved, but they're not saved. They live as if they weren't saved. They worry as if they were not saved. They're all upset about life as if they were not saved. But they are saved. But they don't, if they are, Christ in them. Otherwise, they don't enjoy it. So therefore, here's the Thessalonians, and they were wonderfully saved. And their faith went all over Greece and Asia Minor, etc. And they turned to God from idols in verse 9 and verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were waiting, wonderfully, wonderfully waiting for God. And that's what they were doing. And over in chapter 4, remember, they were waiting. Before you do 4, though, go over to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. What's the world doing as we're approaching and we're right now in this part of history? What are we doing? Well, here's the world lining up with the God of this world, the Antichrist, etc., ultimately, Satan himself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders. What's going to happen? Well, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, that's why you get saved, so you don't perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And what? What's happening? They're following darkness and the devil. Verse 12, 13, 11, I should say. And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, the falsehood. Now, how could you ever follow an Antichrist? Easy. If you don't have a Christ and don't have a solution, what do you think the world's doing? The world would like to have somebody that could fix things. And the big outfits are looking for somebody. UN, all of them, looking for somebody. We're looking. We need somebody. We can't say the Islam will fix it. No. Communism will fix it. No. Socialism will fix it. No. Nope, we got to have someone to put it together. They're going to believe. They're looking for it. Aha, now, so verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned, judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They don't believe. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. What are we doing? We're looking for his wonderful coming. And therefore, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, and picking up if I can, in the light of the context and all of it, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, Peter, James, and John, won't be ahead of us, and here we are waiting. Then we which are alive, that's us standing here, sitting here, which remain, shall be caught up, that's force, that means force, reaching down, and not just nice pat, grabbing something and pulling it up. The rapture, pulling it up. That's what God, and that's why it's going to happen, what? First Corinthians 15, in the splitting of an atom. How fast is the atom split? That's as fast as you're going to go. Now, so therefore, God, what are we doing? Well, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall therefore descend from heaven with a shout, etc. Verse 8:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And therefore, and comfort one another with these words, because that's what you're doing. How am I going to make it? Yea, though I will. David, how'd you do it? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm headed to the house of God. That's where I'm headed. I'm going to God. That's how you make it. That's how you get out of bed and why you go through the hard things and easy things. Because of God, I got a wonderful future. I'm on my way there. And on my way there, you're with me to see that I get there. And goodness and mercy is going to follow me. So God, I don't have to say, did I do everything right? Say everything right? Be everything? No. No flesh shall glory in your presence. No, God, I'm looking to you with thanksgiving. And that's where you're going to be. No. Our Father in God, deal with us. Help us in every way a little bit. God, we just need it inch by inch to get there. So thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for all that you're doing, all that you're not doing. And our God, we're going to look to you with thanksgiving. God, we're going to get to where we need to be and what we need to be and when we need to be as we look to you. And God, David, thank you for your little life back then. But it's our turn on planet Earth. So God, here we is, waiting to get down the car, going down the corridor of time to honor you. God, you got to help us, and help us not to be stubborn, not to be stupid, but to be dead and not to get serious, so serious about everything except you. The most, in all our seriousness, God, our seriousness is to make sure we keep our relationship to you. We're sure, God, it's very, very serious to us that we abide and that we look to your soon coming. And God, that's what it's about. So help us in this. God, encourage the heart, safety. You got to help us in every way. Work, home, school. God, here we is. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.